So we're heading into our last hour of open lines, and it is a St. Patrick's Day weekend, which means that you should be safe out there. Look for something fun to do. You know, if you're doing the green beer and corned beef thing, enjoy every minute of that. And I will be watching as they turn the Chicago River green again. Surprising almost if you were watching a couple of weeks ago that that's even possible. But the best we look like we'll be able to get out of that is they'd be able to dye the ice green. But it's warming up eventually, and I think that's good. The country, I think, needs a break from winter, especially as we get closer to the start of baseball season and March Madness, which is underway. So enjoy the weather change. And make sure that wherever you go, you take us along with you. George Norrie is off tonight, but I'm on. And it's Coast to Coast AM and Open Lines coming back next on Coast to Coast AM. So then the international line, everything's taken. Let me see if we can't get one open for you. We'll go west of the Rockies. Steve is in Sacramento on Coast to Coast AM for Open Lines. Steve?
Yes, Ian. What an honor it is. I've been along for this ride since the beginning. And it's so awesome that you're there taking my call. This is the first time I've ever called. Oh, so I'm really honored.
You. Well, it's a pleasure for me. And I love hearing people with that kind of equity in this show because, you know, it deserves it.
It certainly does. And if I may, just real quick, I just want to say that, you know, sure. I was adopted by my father adopted me, and we didn't really talk at all. And, you know, my mom and him got divorced. But long story short is, the only thing we ever bonded on was Coast to Coast.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really cool. So, okay, there's two things I want to talk to you about. And one, this the UFO thing. I heard the show a couple nights ago about the 22nd anniversary of the Phoenix Lights. And
yeah,
it really sparked this thing I have to call. I saw a UFO. I figure it was back in 1973, 1974. I wasn't the only one there. Forgive me, I'm nervous. My heart is pounding.
You're doing great, man. Take a breath. You're doing fine. Okay. So don't psych yourself up.
Okay. So I was a kid back then, and I looked in the sky. I saw this thing, and I told my friend. He saw it. His grandmother was there. We were out by the pool, so it must have been during the summer, spring, summertime. Anyway. It was a typical cigar-shaped, acicular-shaped ship that, okay, and this is, I didn't see any lights on it. However, this is one thing that's different than anything I've heard, is that this ship, and it was, I wouldn't say it was like way up in the sky, but it was higher than, jet liners would normally go, and it was about the size, I would say, of my thumbnail long, so it was pretty high up, and it must have been pretty huge, because I could distinctly see these rings. Now, not rings, a ring, a, like, smoke kind of ring that started at the top and started to wind itself kind of quickly, and considering the size this thing must have been, around the ship, like a coil. Hey, Google, quit the alarm. Sorry about that, and my teeth. And as it reached the bottom of this ship, it just blinked out of existence, just like that. And it was your classic, you know, when I heard that lady talk about how would she, you know, those crafts that, you know, what she described and how huge they were, I can only imagine how huge this thing must have been. But I've never heard anybody talk about this coil that started wrapping around the vessel and then or craft and then boom, shot out of existence. I've never heard that. So that was really important for me to get out there to the Coast family. And the second thing is the booms are back. These booms that they're back. When I was living in Sacramento proper, you know, suburbs, they back in, this must have been early 90s. I thought somebody was blowing up the garbage cans. You know those old tin garbage cans we used to have?
Right, like a cherry bomb kind of thing?
Wow, Right. I just assumed, you know, and then my wife didn't hear it, and she was sleeping next to me. I asked the neighbors about it because they're pretty close. They didn't hear it, and that was happening, I think until we moved. So, and then now, today, we were looking at moving back towards that area, and in Fair Oaks, apparently, there's this widespread thing because of social media about these booms, and I'm just, they're back. And I remember Linda Moulton Howe talking about those horns. Remember that she was talking about those horns people are hearing? It was almost angelic. That's what I took from it. I haven't heard anything like that, but I can't help but wonder why those stopped. And just,
well,
you know,
hang on a second. Alexa, Google booms. I don't really have Alexa. I didn't want to be left out. I just wanted to see what happens. You know, when I lived in Arizona, I met two people who were on the record, including, you know, had already been included in a couple of TV shows, but I mean, they were legit observers of the Phoenix Lights that night, and I met them just by happenstance. I mean, they recognized my name from coast to coast, and we started talking, and it was very interesting. So I'm sorry I missed that show, if they did an anniversary update on that. And that boom thing, you know, that's not just there, right? I mean, sort of like all over the country, there are these isolated places, and they just still can't always figure out what the origin is. So if you know more, you know, this won't be the last time that you're calling coast to coast. Your dad would be very proud of you. Call back again if you find out more, and we'll get you on, okay?
I certainly would. Thank you so much, Ian.
All right, have a good night. It's nice to talk to you. Open lines on coast to coast. We'll go to Thomas in La Jolla on coast to coast. Thomas?
Good morning, Ian. And I just wanted to say that the coast to coast audience is the best audience. Gina Salvati is the best call screener.
I love the fact she's getting all these props.
The best hosts. It's
to
hear your show.
I only try to live up to Gina's reputation. That's all. So when she's on, I have to raise my game.
There you go.
So glad to have you all these years. So where do you want to take us?
You know, you mentioned at the beginning of the show your researches into the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran.
Yep.
And from where I stand, the common denominator of all three is effective, dynamic prayer.
That's interesting.
And this is a friendly question.
No, I really explain what you mean by that, because I really like it. Effective, dynamic prayer.
You know, a prayer that creates a daily partnership.
Oh, that's cool.
Divinity.
I agree. The idea of cleansing our minds so that we become better receptors of what we should do. Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And I was wondering if you would share your personal experiences on effective prayer and creating a partnership with divinity. And you could, you know, whether it's your personal experience or your researches into the Bible, the Torah, the Quran.
Well, you know, first of all, I'll say this, and I hope you stick around for it. What's really interesting about the Quran is how much is similar to Bible stories. And the same thing, you know, so the Old Testament, or what Christians call the Old Testament, or, you know, the Hebrew Bible, that there's more commonality than there are dissimilarities, and the commonality actually is very much about what you talk about, which is the idea of submission, right? And that's what obviously what the Quran means, and in the word, or what Islam means, is, you know, those who submit is Islam. And so the whole purpose of that is to give up ourselves and to get over ourselves. And so I think that's actually the mystery of life that people too often miss, is that they think of the Bible, or they think of themselves as transmitters instead of receivers. And when we, if all we're doing walk around all day long is we're transmitting, we're telling God what to do, or we're telling other people what to do, we miss the real beauty of submitting to a higher power, which is things we may not like, we may have to do. And that's what the Bible and the Quran are full of, are stories of people who did things they didn't want to do, but they were called to do it. And in the end, their lives were better for it. And we should all be like that.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And sort of getting out of your own way.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what's interesting is a lot of people don't know this, that, you know, they tell the gospel story in the Quran. The Jesus narrative is in the Quran. And there's little things that are different, though. In Arabic, the word they use is Jesus was murdered. They don't say Jesus was killed, they say he was murdered.
Yeah.
And I think, and I find that very interesting, and I did, that was a piece speaking back about the research thing, and I researched this whole idea about the use of the word murder, and there's actually more references to murder and do not murder in the Quran than there is in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible or the Christian Bible.
Yes, yes.
We soft sell it a little bit, and we talk about killing as opposed to murder. So I don't know. Those are the things that I'm drawn to. I don't know quite what it means, but I do know that we should be more mindful about the things that we don't know and to try to read more about them as opposed to make judgments from afar. And I can't get those people in Christchurch, New Zealand out of my mind. Thank you, Thomas. Really enjoyed this conversation. Call back anytime. Let me go to, we were in West Virginia earlier, so how about Brenda in Morgantown? Brenda?
Hey, Ian. Hi.
Hey.
Glad to be on. Thanks for taking my call. I've been listening for 20 years.
How many West Virginia shows have you heard on Coast to Coast in 20 years? all of them. Good answer. But they're not that many.
Me and Gina are buddies.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy that. Well, everybody loves Gina, but I hope you heard all those great West Virginia stories tonight.
I wanted to add to them, and I have got some stuff that your audience ought to love. First of all, I've been to Susan's paranormal
tour.
Fabulous.
Yeah, in Parkersburg.
I went to. She had Bud Hopkins there and Paul Eno.
Oh, did she really? Oh, cool.
Oh my God, Bud Hopkins, that blessed man was the coolest guy I ever met in my life.
Yeah, I loved his books. That Missing Time book.
He was from West Virginia, you know.
I don't remember that. I remember he lived in New York City. I just didn't know that he was originally from.
He was in the Wheeling area, and then he went to New York City and spent
how about that?
Life.
Yeah, I interviewed him. I had one chance to interview him, but it was late in his life, and I had already, I mean, I'd grown up reading and rereading Missing Time.
Yeah.
It was a great book.
I wanted to tell your the listeners is that if anybody wants to take a week vacation and just do paranormal stuff, West Virginia is the place to do it. We have everything here. Like the whole east, the whole west part of West Virginia has got the Mothman and lots of UFO stuff. The middle of West Virginia has the Flatwoods Monster. And all the northern part where I live has lots of UFOs and Bigfoot. I have neighbors that say they see Bigfoot on a regular basis.
Really?
Yeah, and and plus I'm close. I can see Maryland, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania from my house. I can see three states. I live right on top of the Appalachian Mountains.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and where I live, Edgar Casey said was one of the very few places that was going to be a safe place to live when all the big weather changes came.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Morgantown's cool enough as it is. Morgantown's great. That's a great city.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. I was hoping that George and Tommy and all of them could come to New York, to Morgantown sometime. Jeannie ought to fix that up for us.
I will tell them. I will mention it to them. It's actually very much the kind of city they like to go to, so I wouldn't be surprised if it pops up on a tour.
The one thing I wanted to tell the listeners, if you haven't been to West Virginia, it's a really beautiful mountainous state.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost all small towns. So if you wanted to come for a vacation, you could drive all around the state, rent a car and drive all around the state, and you could see all this paranormal stuff in a week easy, and it's really cheap to do. Super cheap.
Not to mention you drive down to the West Virginia, Kentucky state line there and do that whole Hatfield and McCoys thing.
Oh, Mingo County, the Mate Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
great stories down there too. Well, it's wonderful. Thank you, Brenda. Appreciate that. And let me, I think I have just enough time to get Louise in before the bottom of the hour. It's open lines, Louise. Where are you going to take us?
Enoch?
Sure.
Hello.
Hi.
I would like to thank you for accepting my call. And I would like to give credit to USC and UCLA for the excellent research library that they have. I have studied at both of those schools, taking classes in ancient Egyptian history. And at UCLA, under Dr. Robinson, he had an Egyptologist come in and teach me how to write my name in the ancient hieroglyphs. And she said to me, it is not difficult to understand.
The hieroglyphs are the original emojis.
Yes, they are. And after she taught me how to write my name, a few years later, I went to Egypt, and I was able to understand the writings on the wall at Thebes and Luxor and all around Egypt. So the schools are excellent. The research libraries at UCLA and USC are two of the best in the country.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that. I've been thinking about bribing USC to let one of my kids in. I'm joking. Are you?
The scandal.
I know you were not. are you in Louisville?
Yes, I am in Louisville. My master's, as you know, is from the University of North Carolina, but I lived in LA for 25 years.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, what do you study? What do you do?
Well, when I was in North Carolina, I was a business professor at North Carolina A&T State University. But when I was in L.A., I was in banking and finance because I wanted to upgrade my skills. And I was in banking and finance for 25 years. But then I came back home to Louisville, and I taught at the high school from which I graduated, which was Central High Magnet Career Academy.
Oh, that's interesting. My mom was from Shawnee Park.
Yeah, right down the street, so to speak.
Yeah, I can't remember if that was her high school or not, but
Chickasaw Park and Shawnee Park, and I lived on Greenwood Avenue when I was a child here.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you for jumping in. Appreciate that. I love that idea of still learning hieroglyphs. There's a lot of languages that were built around those, that type of storytelling using those images, and I hope that never dies. Dean is in Toledo on Coast to Coast AM before the bottom of the hour. Dean?
Hi, Ian. How are you doing tonight?
Good. Where are you going to take us?
Well, I will be retiring in 5 weeks when I turn 66.
Mazel tov. From what?
I'm in the automotive industry as a parts supplier. I'm an engineer.
Oh, cool.
And you know how the automotive industry is a roller coaster up and down. So I'm really not sad to be leaving it at this point.
No, it's kind of, especially like in Ohio, it's a little bit like an iceberg floating to the equator right now. But
it hasn't been a good last 3 months.
No, I'm so sorry to hear about that plant closing.
So, Ian, my coworkers always ask me, Dean, what are you going to do after you retire? And I have lots of hobbies and activities, but one thing I always told them was, well, I'm just going to call into the morning radio shows long enough until I get an in-studio invitation from one of them.
Sure.
So I had been texting one of the local shows. It was kind of a wacky morning zoo kind of show, 70s, 80s music, bits between the music. And I would text in quite often with humorous little comments or what I thought was humorous. Occasionally, those would be read on the air. So I thought, well, I got something going. So my colleagues at work knew about this, and they reached out to the main disc jockey at this show and prearranged for me to actually go in studio this week. And I did that on Thursday.
Well, hang on to that. Put a pin into that. Don't go anywhere. You know radio, so you know these breaks are inevitable. I'll get back to the rest of that story coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. And for George Norrie, this is Ian Punnett. So going back to open lines in a minute, but we just want to wrap up that very interesting story Dean was telling from Toledo. As part of his retirement, you wanted to get a shot at doing morning radio, so you got kind of the local wacky morning zoo types, and you contacted them, and you said, you were just telling us, this week they allowed you to come on and be a part of the show?
Yes, Ian. So actually, I didn't contact them. I would never do that. But my coworkers reached out to the main DJ, Denny Schaefer, And lo and behold, I found out that it had been okayed and authorized for me to go in studio. I didn't expect to be on the air. I just planned to hang out in the studio and watch the radio magic. So that happened Thursday this week, and I was actually in studio for almost 3 hours. I'm surprised they put up with me that long. And they answered my questions. They listened to my comments, chuckled occasionally. And it was a very interesting experience.
You're going to do it again?
Oh, absolutely, in a heartbeat. It looks like a lot of work. I thought it would be all
fun. No.
But I didn't realize all the different things that they would be doing off the air as far as, you know, recording promos, planning upcoming bits and things. And it was very well organized. I was very impressed. And I checked that off my bucket list.
Well, I love that. Well, let me say that I did morning radio for decades. Even while I was doing Coast to Coast, I had a local morning radio show.
And that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about.
It's way fun. You know, it's totally fun. It was a great way to make a living, and it was a great way to raise family.
So I have another item on my bucket list, which you're helping me out now with.
What's that?
When I started listening to Coast and Coast years ago, and then I heard you the first time, after Art, you became my favorite on-the-air person. And I had to listen to Ian Punnett-hosted shows. Absolutely. Then I learned about your morning show in the Twin Cities.
That's right.
So then I had to go online and listen to your morning show.
With my wife.
Hour at work. And I loved the intro by Itchy and Scratchy.
That's great.
I missed the updates of Itchy and Scratchy. It sounded like you and Marjorie were having a lot of fun doing that show.
Well, it was fun, and thank you. The kids are great. My sons are 27 and 25 now.
Wow.
And they they were little back when we started, and the my oldest son just graduated with a degree in a master's of sustainability. He works on the business side of green, so he's always trying to figure out to save money and to create, closed loops of financing and resources so that companies can lower their overhead by being able to find sustainable solutions for things which right now are generating a lot of wasteful byproduct, which is neither good for the economy, for their bottom line, or for the earth. And then my other son, my younger son, Itchy, is just wrapping up his master's degree in sociology. But you know, that's really sweet of you to ask. You know, here's what I want to ask you is, so how old are you now, roughly?
I'm 65, and I will turn 66 3 days before I retire on Good Friday.
So why not, since you're in a good place financially, why not think about doing radio part-time as just kind of a fun thing to do from here on out?
Ian, I have listened to radio all my life. There's never a moment in my life when I don't have a radio on.
Right.
And I'm all over the board, except for Country Western. I don't listen to Country Western.
Right.
But I've really taken to listen to NPR lately.
Okay. But I mean that. Why don't you just take a local, extension class, or if your friends at that local radio station can work it out for you, where you can learn to do learn how to run a board, and do it part time for now on.
That sounds great, Ian, and I will consider that. Right now, I have a lot of other things that I think I'm going to do. But with this call, I just wanted to let you know that I have now checked off another item, and that is calling into Coast to Coast.
Okay.
Hosted by Ian Punnett.
Well, you're very nice to say it, but I really mean it, Donna, and thank you for the kind words. If we've never spoken before, I will remember this night from this point forward. But I really do hope you think about it, because you sound like you have the right outlook. You got a great voice. You might really enjoy that. Not to say that you don't have many other things much more productive to do, but if you don't need radio, radio needs you. So there you go. I hope that you at least consider that. And I think one shift a week, you might really enjoy it. So thanks for calling in, Dean. You're a good guy. Let me go to Daniel in Wichita on Coast to Coast. Daniel?
Hi, Doc Donner. I don't know if you remember me. I called you several times. But
four months ago, I
suffered from severe depression.
Right. We were talking about your dad, weren't we, last time?
Yeah, and the kitty.
Yeah.
And I named it Ian.
Oh, that's nice
and
of you.
He's just doing wonderful now.
Oh, good.
But more than that, he's doing wonderful for me.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear and, that.
You know, it really, and I appreciate you talking to me because I don't have anything really smart to say. but I haven't talked directly to a human being for 30 days.
Oh, you got to do that more often, dude. You know you do. Nobody thrives in that vacuum.
I know that. It's just, it's so hard for me. And I so much appreciate speaking to you.
Well, I'm glad you call, and I'm worried about you. And you need, the fact that you recognize it was as good, but I hope you do more. I mean, even just volunteering, right? Even just like going to a local food bank and filling bags.
I've done that, sir, and it's extremely hard, but I can tell you this. You do more for me just hearing your voice than my psychiatrist, the VA. All they want to do is put me on antipsychotics.
Yeah.
I'm not psychotic. I'm just severely depressed. I've had a lot of loss in my life.
Yeah, you had some pretty good reasons. I mean,
right. And I'm not trying to justify it.
No, no.
I don't feel good about it, but I would rather maintain a relationship at a distance with people because basically I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Well, you're very candid. You're very honest and authentic person, and you know that goes a lot.
Or that I was sent to a Blue Cloud Blue Abbey in Marvin, South Dakota, with the Franciscan monks, and they taught me every life has value.
Yeah, yours too, you know. Yours too. It's not just every other life. You gotta hold yourself right up there with everybody else.
Sure, I agree. I just, you know, things get to me. And I asked you last time, since you were a media expert, about truth.
We talked about truth and fact, right?
Right, and fact and truth, yes. And you gave such a good explanation. You know, Dr. Punnett, I can't even watch the national news anymore because it hurts me so bad to see people in such discord around the world and in our own United States and in so many countries.
I agree with you there. That's why I watch a lot of cooking shows.
Oh, yeah. So is that your suggestion to me?
Because... No, but I'm just telling you, for me, I find cooking shows make me very happy. And if I get that kind of media overload where everything is telling me that there's no good reason to try anymore, and I am overwhelmed with other people's cynicism, and that's what a lot of this is to me. It's a battle against cynicism. It's a battle against people who think nothing that we do matters. So you might as well just be selfish. And so that kind of gets to me sometimes. And that's honestly why I
teach your classes to, aren't you afraid to, project to your students, you're in communications.
Right. Yeah.
Even how do you project your students how to protect themselves from I don't know.
Let me throw something at you. So the media scape is all around us, right? That we live in a physical landscape, but we live in a mental media scape, where we're always affected by different forms of media. Some of it social media, some of it entertainment media, some of it news media. And so we have to stand, here's, I'll use the term I use. We have to stand porter at the door of thought. And we have to be actively engaged with what we allow in. And we have to be more discriminating. Sometimes we can, when things are going fine, you know, we can be a little less discriminating, but I think it's paramount that people not consider themselves a victim of media. Or that they just simply have to watch something, or they have to. You don't. And if you can't unsee something, if you can't unhear something, don't even go there.
Dr. Pannon, I agree with you completely. But also, when I see people that are suffering, I feel a need to reach out to them,
yes,
and help them.
Good.
And I truly believe that media informs us about things that we wouldn't ordinarily know about.
But we're all media now. I mean, so one of the things we know is that idea of social media, more people are impacted by news they get about current events from friends or people in their social media circle than they get it from mainstream news outlets, which have a less and less of an impact. So
I know people are suffering all over the world. Would I try to help anonymously because I'm unable to really communicate much with people? I live in a vagrant part of the city that there's a lot of vagrants, and I try to help them directly because I don't know. I have such limited funds. I don't know what's going to go somewhere else. I just try to help human beings that money could help them, where money does not. And I have very limited money. I'm on Social Security disability. But I try to help them here around me.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna try and get a couple callers in before the top of the hour. Here's what I'm gonna offer you. No. Here's what I'm gonna offer you. I'm gonna put you on hold. I'm gonna ask the lovely Gina Salvati to get contact information for you. I have had no reason to go to Wichita yet, though we only be a couple hours apart. But if you give me a way to contact you, let's see if we can't arrange, you know, just a coffee sometime. How would that sound?
That'd be great sometime. I come up Chapman, Kansas, which is just down the road from you.
Well, we can meet in the middle then somewhere, okay? There's probably a Starbucks or, some kind of local coffee place. So, Daniel,
God bless you.
No, this is it, dude. We're just human beings. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll get that contact information and we'll work that out. Okay. And I still want to come to Wichita one of these days. Let me go to Dee Dee, who's in Corvallis, Oregon on Coast to Coast. Dee Dee.
Huzzah. I got
Huzzah.
You. Hey, Ian.
Yeah, you. Hi.
Good to talk to you. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up doppelgangers. I wanted to call on that last when you were on last.
Yeah.
But I've got two DVDs for you.
Okay.
That have a doppelganger theme to it.
Okay.
And one is Enemy with Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't know if you've seen it. And
I have
also,
not.
Isabella Rossellini.
Oh, I like both of those people.
As his mom.
Oh, interesting.
And that's my favorite one. That's pretty creepy. And it's based on a book called The Double by author Jose Saramago.
I'm looking that up right now. My wife had a night once with Isabella Rossellini. She said she was just one of the nicest people she ever met.
Yeah, I really like her.
She just adored her.
That's a very creepy, eerie one, and that's my favorite one. And then the other one is actually called The Double, and with Jesse Eisenberg and Mia Wasikowski.
Mm-hmm. That's a good. I'm looking at one of them right now. The Enemy one that's on Prime Video. So I already have it. I can already watch it on Amazon Prime. So I have not. So I will make a point on your recommendation.
Okay, and then the other one is The Double, which is also good. They're both very different. I wasn't familiar with the directors or, hadn't seen
anything. Right.
Anyway, and that book is also called The Double, but it's by Dostoevsky.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Two books with the same name and different authors. And I think Saramago was a Nobel winner. I picked up one of his other books called The Life of Things or something like that. But
Love that. So, I have a little time this weekend until I'm back in school on Monday. So let me go.
I think you'll like both of those, or I hope you will anyway.
I'll give you a report. Thank you. Debbie is in Raleigh, North Carolina, east of the Rockies on coast to coast. Debbie, we just have just a minute for you. So we got to get to you right away.
Yeah, that's fine. The song title I thought of for your former caller was Don't Give Up on the Brink of a Miracle. But what I was calling about is how to go about getting a book published. I'm putting together things that have happened in my life or things I've said and done that I hope people would find interesting. Like, when somebody said, have you been blind all your life? And before I thought, I said, not yet. Anyway, stuff like that. Anyway, I just wanted to know about if anyone had clues as to how to get something like that put together.
You know, what you need to do, I'll give you a real quick checklist, okay? And it'll have to be quick because we're done. But A, go ahead and write 3 really good chapters, because any book proposal will need to have sample chapters. So just go ahead and start writing it. Don't wait to get a book deal. Don't wait for somebody to green light it. You come up with 3 great chapters. After that, you're going to need to put together a book proposal to get an agent. But there are people who will handle first-time authors out there, or go ahead and plan on publishing it yourself. And it's never been easier to e-publish in your life. So, you know, get a social media following, and that could help. It was a great night. Have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. Be safe. We'll see you back here a week from tonight. For me, anyway, we'll do open lines next Friday. In the meantime, Deus Tiamat. And I do too.